Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I'm so excited today because I have Amber Wyrock with me, and Amber founded at the beginning of 2021, Socially Inspired LLC, started out being just a dream for owner and operator Amber. As a mom of three teenage daughters, she has her hands full, it was important she set an example and truly lived the life of the words that she's using, you can be anything you want to be. When she launched Socially Inspired, she never could have imagined where it would take her. While the Socially Inspired team may have grown and services have been added, one thing still remains the same: our desire to link arms with other entrepreneurs who are chasing their own dreams and want to grow their businesses. Let Socially Inspired help you as a business owner hone in on your own strategic thinking, build a plan, and then walk with you through the execution of that plan. So important. As the founder, Amber is still an active part of the day-to-day management services of Socially Inspired, but is excited to add podcast hosts and coach to her services. You can listen to the Inspired Biz on your favorite podcast playing platform, and you can book a discovery call for business coaching through the button that will be below in the description. Thank you so much, Amber, for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to dive in. You definitely have your hands full, and I cannot wait to hear about your experience, your journey that really led you to starting your own business.
Yeah. So it would be easy to say that it was because of COVID, and in a lot of ways it probably was. Although I would say if I had really had that awareness of where I was at, I was already approaching that point of needing a change, needing to make a shift. And if anything, COVID and being, you know, working from home and all of that just kind of put a magnifying glass on top of some of those things that were already present in my heart and in my life. And so navigating through that, I had kids home that were schooling from home, and, you know, I was trying to support that while also working a 9-to-5 job. And it was just, I was hitting this place of, I was not happy. I was not feeling fulfilled. I was not feeling inspired, which ultimately came where the word, you know, socially inspired came from. And I really started playing with this idea of what would it look like for me to start my own business. And that was a very foreign idea. I, you know, had gone to school for my undergrad and my graduate degree. I was in a role that was not really a work from home type of role. It was a vocational ministry job with a local church. And I was just like, how does that even work? How do I take what I've been doing and translate it? And honestly, I didn't. I did a complete 180. I changed courses altogether. I have found that a lot of the skill sets that I used in my previous work still apply, but to the outside viewer, it was a complete pivot and really confusing for a lot of people, which I don't know about other entrepreneurs, but that can often lean to loneliness because people don't understand what you're doing or get it, and they don't see the vision. And so that's where I felt like I found myself for the first 6 months or so, is I was really, really alone. But I was excited. But the excitement of that can only last you so long before the aloneness really starts to take over. And I realized that while I love being my own boss, I don't want to work alone. I want to be a part of a collaborative team. I want to get to know other people. I want to network. I want that opportunity. And so that is where the last year has really taken me, as I've grown my team, as I have continued to expand my services, as I've said yes to more and more opportunities like this, where I'm like, I want to meet people and get to know people and hear their journeys and their stories. That's what led to me starting my own podcast. So yeah, that's kind of been, in a very, very short nutshell, where I've been over the last year and a little over a year and a half.
It's incredible. And we're definitely going to dive deeper into that because I think a lot of people want to know the how or the ups, the downs. But I want to touch back on what you said about going, you went to school that you thought that was what you were going to do. Yes. And then it wasn't fulfilling in the way you were planning on it to be fulfilling. And that happens so often. Mm-hmm. I know, like, after I got my doctorate, everyone was like, what are you doing? Why are you leaving a profession and this and that? And like all of the thoughts that came into people's minds that were said to me. But I think it's trusting ourselves and knowing that there's something more. And I love that you took that and really just applied the skill sets, because I think that's the big point of it, is we all have skill sets. We might have never done something before, but we're able to apply those skills and morph it into something that makes sense to us. And not everyone's going to understand our vision, but as long as we understand our vision and those around us that are on that same vision can really help us grow and expand. Yes. So I love that you mentioned that, because I do think that's really important. And just to kind of touch too, you're a mom of three teenage girls. That's
huge.
Hands are full.
Yes, it is very busy in my household. Actually, there's a really great chance that you guys are going to hear them because they're home for the summer. So it's
perfect.
There's only so much I can do about that. So,
well, we welcome them.
Yeah.
They want to pop on, they can. But for you, how was that managing entrepreneurship, leaving the 9-to-5, homeschooling, and being a mom and a wife? Like, how was that process like for you, like in the last year or so?
You know, initially it felt great. You know, my goal of being more present was immediately met, because I was, you know, I went from having these responsibilities, and while I was growing something, it was very small. It was very, you know, it wasn't time consuming. And so my opportunity to be present was immediately there. And I'm recalling last summer, you know, I would close up work at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And every single day, myself and my three girls, we would go to the pool or go, you know, to the arboretum, or we would just do anything and everything. And it felt fantastic. Well, fast forward a year later, and my business is at a completely different place. And the temptation that has snuck back in to kind of sacrifice that presence for progress, to sacrifice this, you know, I can put this aside and I cannot be present. But the reality is that I don't feel like I have that time. And this is not for anyone else. This is for me. My oldest only has 3 years left of high school. You know, we're on that countdown. And I've had to really think about what my goals are for this summer, to think about how I can still see progress, but also be present. And what does that have to look like? I may have to turn off things at a certain time. And so it does take a lot of intentionality around what you're doing if you're wanting to grow a business, but also be present as a mom and as a wife.
Absolutely. And I think you touched on something, and I want to ask you about it, but boundaries, being intentional, but having boundaries too for your time, your energy. How has that been like for you, being intentional, but setting like intentional boundaries? Because it sounds like you do that.
Oh yeah. I have to, you know, I have some really incredible clients, and they all, you know, but I'm upfront from the get-go, you know, hey, I am a mom, and it is important to me that continues to be a value. And so I actually just went a couple weeks ago on our first real like unplugged vacation, in the time that I have been doing my own business. And it was so great. I had my team was managing things on this end of it. So I knew my clients were in great hands. They were cared for, and that created me opportunity for me to be more present on our vacation, because I knew, you know, if I had left before, even if I had told my clients, I'm out of here, I can't, you know, I won't be able to respond, my brain, that mental load would have still been there. Right. And so being able to set down the mental load, or even rather hand off the mental load for that week, was so powerful. And that is what I would hope every entrepreneur is working towards, where they have the opportunities to not just leave and shut it down, but to genuinely lay down the mental load, because that is probably one of the biggest obstacles I have found, is that even when I'm off, I'm still on, right? My brain is still chugging away.
It's true. The mind is very powerful. It is. It absolutely is. And being able to really manage that, I'm curious, because you do have a team. What was that process like growing a team? So somebody who's been a solopreneur and they're in that track of like, okay, it's time to expand. Like, I can't keep this load anymore to myself. How have you been able to grow your team?
So initially it was really hard because I did not start out building the structures that I needed to sustain a team. And so I would tell you, if you are a solopreneur and you're listening to this, even if you're not sure you want to build a team, even if you're not positive that that will ever be in the cards for you, start building structures so that it is not just you. Start, you know, I had so much that I had in my brain that was not anywhere else other than in my brain. So when it came time to me handing things off, I had to really go through the process of getting it out of my brain onto paper digitally and being able to hand that over. And so one of the things that I actually coach a lot of my clients on is starting from the get-go, building a structure as if it's not going to just be you. You may not have a dream of having a team, and that is okay. But if you have those structures in place when you are ready for it, or if you get to that point, that is such a much, it's a much smoother process. I did not do that. So I was racing against time as my business was growing and as my team was growing. I was having to pull double duty to manage my onboarding clients and manage my onboarding team all at once. And it was not a pretty, season. There was a couple months there where I was, oh man, my husband is a saint that he lived, you know, he went through that with me and my kids too. But now I look at it and I realize, you know, the SOPs that I needed to have in place, the structure I needed to have in place, the process for onboarding both clients and team, I could have built it from the beginning and it would have been much, much smoother.
That is really good advice as well, because I do think when we start out, it's like, okay, well, you're pulling at seams because you're learning, you're growing and evolving. But if you don't write it down, like just like what you're saying, your brain gets so cluttered and trying to find, oh, where did I put this? Or it's not organized, but not even having that system in place, even if they don't want to grow their team, it's still, they have it in a place where it just makes it so much more seamless. And that's what I'm hearing from you. It could go wrong if you don't have that in place.
Yes. Yes. And I, it was a precarious time for a period of time there. I, you know, was not wanting to turn away clients, but I needed my team to grow rapidly. And thankfully my team that I have around me has been so gracious and patient with me as I've continued to get those systems in place. You know, I'm in the process of looking to fill another position. And now they're going to onboard in a completely different world than where my first few teammates did, because we have SOPs, we have onboarding structures, we even have an application process, you know, whereas before I was flying by the seat of my pants. And thankfully it worked out, but I definitely look back now and I realize there were so many things that I could have done early on that would have prevented it from being quite that stressful.
Yes. No, I think that's so important, because I did the same in the beginning. I was not having systems in place, or I had systems in place and then it went away. So really having it locked in is so key, and it just saves you so much time and energy, especially when more clients are coming in and you're trying to juggle everything. It can be really challenging.
Yes, for sure.
So I'm curious, with your journey, everything that you've gone through, what have been some of the pivots that you've had to make in business, or things that were roadblocks that kind of had forced you to pivot, if there are any?
Well, I think one of the first things I realized was spending money on your business was that money mindset, right? Of I don't want to spend money. I don't want to spend money. I don't want to spend money. Versus changing that thought process and really looking at it from the perspective of I'm investing in my business. You know, I liken it to, I have a friend who is owns a painting business and is fantastic at it. And I was talking with him the other day and I said, it's as if you started your painting business and you said, well, I can't buy my brushes and my rollers and my tarps until I bring in some money. And he laughed. He said, well, then I wouldn't have had any customers. And I said, right. You had to invest initially upfront in order to have the supplies and the tools needed to actually sustain your business. And I said, so many entrepreneurs, especially those who are in the digital and the online space, they struggle with that mindset because before they want to invest in certain tools, resources, equipment, so to speak, they feel like they need to see income coming in first. And don't get me wrong, I know there's a balance there, mm-hmm. but it is an investment. It is the cost of starting up. And I had to really challenge that mindset. And thankfully, I have a very supportive husband who's literally, his whole mindset is invest it all back into the business. Let's build this thing. Let's grow this thing. But I really had to challenge my own mindset around that because my mindset was, no. I first need to replace my 9-to-5 income. I first need to be a contributing member of like financial contributor to this household. I first need to do these things and then I can invest in my business. But that would literally have never grown my business. Never. And so that was one of the biggest obstacles that I faced was that money mindset and having to really make some intentional shifts in how I viewed the income coming in, how I viewed my finances around my business and our personal finances and what I knew we were going to have to put into it in the first few years before we would see it be profitable, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good one. I think money mindset is so huge. And you're right. Like just the friend you were talking to, it's easier to see when it's like a brick and mortar, tangible. You're like, okay, well, I need the supplies. I need this. I need every employees. So you have to put money out. But when it's online, a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with that piece. And mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up because it is investing back into your business. You might make, let's say $5,000, but that $5,000 isn't going to just go directly to your bank account. It's putting it back in the business. It's growing that in order to have more success. And it's something that I struggled with in the beginning as well. So I know a lot of people listening are probably struggling or have struggled in the past. So I think it's just so key to really reframe that. And I know there's a great book. I don't know if you've read it. It's from Jen Sincero's, You're Badass at Making Money.
I haven't, but I've read her. I haven't read that one. So
it's a really good one. But it just talks about our money mindset too and reshaping that because we're programmed a certain way, especially if you're coming from a 9-to-5, nothing wrong with a 9-to-5, but it's that mindset, okay, I work for 2 weeks and then I get paid or whatever that looks like for each company, but recognizing that it's putting it back into the business and allowing it to grow.
Well, and that mindset of I work 2 weeks and then I get paid, it's a very time for money exchange mindset. And so when I started challenging my mindset around my income, I also stopped looking at it from I spend this much time working, I get this many dollars. Right. I stopped viewing it that way. I started viewing it as I'm investing this in here so that someday I'm not even thinking about what my hourly rate is, you know? And that's what I realized that it's ingrained in us when we go into the workforce, into our 9-to-5 world, it's ingrained in us that it's an even exchange. I'm exchanging time for money. Now, how much money you're receiving for your time might fluctuate from person to person, but that mindset is so ingrained in us that you almost have to like deconstruct it a little bit and realize that isn't actually how this has to work. I mean, someday I would love to not be exchanging any of my time for the income that I have coming in. That's the, you know, right? The evergreen mm-hmm. idea of having passive income. So there's some of those kinds of things where I'm really, you know, trying to think through why did I think that way? And what is my goal around this as opposed to just, this is the autopilot that we're always on.
Yeah. It's getting underneath what is going on, the root of it, where the money mindset comes from, because there's so many myths about it as well. And the book talks about a lot about it as well, but just hearing other people's opinions on it or just what has happened for them. And I do think it is a complete shift, especially when you're working for yourself. Like it's completely different because of the investment. It's because of the time that you put up front and then the rewards come later. You don't always see it right away and that's okay, but it's working towards that goal, whatever that goal is for you. So I love that example. I'm curious, what has been one of your recent success stories with one of your clients that you had the opportunity to work with? And would love to dive a little deeper into that so people can know what you do.
Yeah. So we have really grown and we have a wide variety of clients that we support. I have several that are coaches or therapists. And so that's something that whether it's because of my background and that just is where I gravitate towards, but that has been definitely a fun thing to be able to work with them and get to see their vision come to life, their reach increase. Let's see, a recent victory. I would definitely say one of my clients, we have been working on a launch for, she's a midlife coach to women. And she has been working on a course that she's ready to put out. And due to some things that were beyond her control in the spring, she had to push pause and kind of regroup and not launch when she had hoped to. And, you know, that was one of those things where I think she at first felt as if that were, you know, I'm so sorry, we're not able to do this. This is not my vision. This is yours. So I'm with you. So if we need to push pause, we push pause and we wait and we build it even stronger so that when we're ready to launch. And so as of the end of this week, we will be in the launching mode and she'll actually be preparing to start that course in the fall. And it's really great getting to have walked with her this long and see what she's been building towards come to life, and we're ready for it. We're pushing it out. And, you know, there's a lot of nerves that go along with that as well, but I'm super excited to get to watch that happen and to have been a part of that.
Oh, that's amazing. And I love when you were talking too about you really link arms, like, and I said in the bio too, but that's exactly this example as well. It just embodies that where it's not about, okay, well, we need to push this out. It's really about the client, their timeline and where they're at, and life is going to happen. And I'm curious to kind of speak to that. Has there been any outside of the roadblocks or pivots with business, but has there been anything where you were like, oh, I don't know if I can still do this, but you had that aha moment where you're like, I'm doing this, I'm pushing through whatever life circumstance was going on?
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, I hit those moments where I, you know, it's imposter syndrome. It's that idea of, you know, what in the world am I doing? Or how did I get here? Especially when I encounter people in my life who still don't get it. You know, early on when I first left my role and I told people what I was doing, I actually got to the point where I stopped telling people what I was doing. It was easier for them to think that I was just going to stay at home and be a stay-at-home mom to my three daughters than for them to process what I was doing starting a business. And so however, a lot of those folks, because they've watched it evolve, they get it now. They see what's happening. They understand where I'm at. There are still those that don't. And I think that when I encounter that, you know, that opposition or the strange looks or the questions or even sometimes the negativity, I have to center myself and really stay away from that as much as possible. And so, you know, that has been definitely some of the source of that imposter syndrome popping up or feeling like I have to explain or justify my path to people. But I think that again, I think we touched on this with my daughters, you know, or in the bio. My girls are incredibly smart and they could do anything. They could go to college, get a doctorate, do whatever they wanted to, but they also can do this. And I want them to be able to see the full gamut of what is available to them. So a few months ago, my daughter, who is actually right now on her mission trip to Puerto Rico, she told me that she wanted to go on this trip and it was not inexpensive. And she was almost 15. And I just said, you're going to have to work to raise at least some of the money for that. And she kind of was like, Mom, I'm not even allowed to have a job yet. You know, how am I going to, and I said, I don't know, babysitting, like we can get creative, but you're going to have to contribute to that because I believe that things shouldn't just be handed to you. So she really went to the drawing board and she is an incredible baker. And she started putting herself out there to bake cookies and cupcakes. We created a Facebook page for her. We set up a structure for what she would pay me for supplies out of each of her orders. She started talking to people about it. She took phone calls when people would give her number to people. And she raised every single dime for her trip that she is on right now. And then some. And I watched this and I thought, not only could she do it, she is doing it. She is an entrepreneur at the age of 14, almost 15. And I think that that was a moment where I thought, this is why. This is why more women need to say yes to following their dreams. This is why, especially more women, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are guys listening to this and I don't want to alienate them, but more women need to say yes to it because the next generation is watching and they need to know that anything is available to them, whether it's schooling, whether it's trade, whether it's starting your own business, or it's all of the above, anything is available to them.
So beautifully said. And you must be so proud of your daughter and yes. just being able to really push through and got creative with your help. But I think that you just touched on it so powerfully, or being empowered by it too, of her seeing that you're doing it, that mm-hmm. you changed course of life and decided to start your own business and being successful at it and seeing more women do that. And that's why I love this segment too. It's just a really about highlighting incredible women and recognizing too that young girls, you can do whatever you want to do. You have that embodiment. And that's something that, like, my parents always said, whatever you want to do. Like, I never thought I would get a doctorate and I'm not practicing, but I switched gears. And I think too, it's, you can do anything you want. So I love that you're embodying that and a role model to your girls of what is possible and all those around too. And I'm sure mm-hmm. they're friends and seeing that there is another way. It's not just one way.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. I love it.
Good. Yeah, I do too. I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of her. Someone said something about, well, now that she's done with raising money for the trip, is she? And I was like, well, now she wants to buy a car. So she's got goals. Okay. She's got dreams and goals. So
she's not stopping there.
No.
So I'm curious, if you were to look at, like, your journey thus far, what has been, like, two or three tips that you wish you would have known when you started that could really help others as well?
Okay. So first off, and this is a weakness of mine, and I am not a great bookkeeper. So setting up a strong system for bookkeeping, whether it is finding someone that can help you with that, or having, you know, QuickBooks or something like that in place that can be more automated, I would definitely say, from just a business structure, make sure that you have a great way of tracking your income. You have a separate bank account, like, just set it up right from the get-go. Even if you're thinking, oh, this is just going to be a side thing, it's going to be a side gig, don't let it get muddled together, because it can be very messy when it's time to take them apart. And so that's one tip that, if I had known that from the get-go, because I kind of did approach it at first, like, oh, this is going to just be a little side gig kind of thing. I'm going to build something that will be small. And so that is one tip. Let's see. I talked about this, like, setting up your SOPs from the get-go. Anything that is a structure that, if you thought, I'm not here, who's doing this for me? Let's say you land yourself in the hospital and someone needs to take over for you, right? Think through that prism and build your structures, build your SOPs in such a way that someone could step in fairly seamlessly, because that is something that, again, I did not do from the get-go. The other thing, and this is less tactical and more vision oriented, really understand the purpose behind your brand. So I talk about this on my podcast and on my own social media, where if you are not connected to a deeper purpose, not to making money, not to, you know, having more people on your team, not to having a certain number of clients, but really understanding your purpose, that's kind of your true north. And without that, you will find yourself so far off the path, and you're going to be over here doing stuff that you never really wanted to do. You're going to be way out of alignment with that. So really identify your purpose. For me, my purpose is, I love helping people. I love seeing someone have a vision or a dream for their business and watching it come to life. The way their eyes light up, the way they get excited, that is my passion. That is my purpose. So anytime I start to feel like I'm diverting off of that, I bring myself back into alignment with my true north. So as a business owner, as a brand operator, as someone who is starting a business, really know that you have a purpose-driven brand and that it is feeding and informing everything that you do.
Those are fantastic tips. And I do agree, the last one is really important too, because it's not losing sight and it has to be deeper. The why, like mm-hmm. Simon Sinek talks about all the time, of just understanding the deep rooted why of we're doing things, because we might not want to get out of bed one day, but knowing that there's a bigger purpose. So I love that you put that in there too, because I think it's super vital.
Yeah.
And I've been having such a great time with this conversation. We're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
I'm as ready as you can be. So.
Fair enough. The first question is, who is your hero?
My mom, hands down. She is the strongest woman I have ever met. And I aspire to be like her in every way.
Well, she raised an incredible daughter and you're doing the same. That's amazing. What motivates you to work smarter?
I definitely recognize that I don't want to keep exchanging time for money. So if I can find ways to refine my structures and my processes, that's my motivation right now is I want to work smarter, not harder. So really thinking about how I can be more intentional. I can offload things that other people can do that I don't need to be doing. And so that's really the big motivator for me is building a structure where it's not just an exchange of time for money.
That's important. I definitely think we all need to focus on that as well, where we're not trading time for money. So we can be more present, like you said in the beginning as well. Mm-hmm. So if you were a superhero, what would be your powers or power?
Well, ironically, I think I would add more time to the day. I think that's probably the only thing I come up against. Sometimes I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's already, 4 p.m. And so that would probably be my superhero or like super speed. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. Then you get done faster,
Right.
I love those. Those are good ones. If you were to have a meal, like share a meal with four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Oh, okay. Well, my four favorite people, my three daughters and my husband, I love them. And that's who I would want to sit around a table with.
Oh, that's beautiful. I like that. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Well, I mean, I think completely leaving behind my training and my job and starting a business that is like 180 degree pivot, probably is the definition of the daring. So I don't even, sometimes I look back and I think what possessed me to do it. And I don't even know if I can put my finger on it, but that is definitely the most daring thing I've done.
That is very daring and it's working out.
Yes, it is.
What is the phone app that you use the most?
Trello. Hands down. I am on because I use Trello for my own project management and then also for my team. That's how we all collaborate and manage the different projects. So I am on Trello a lot.
That makes sense. It's a really good app. It definitely keeps everybody organized and the team. Yes. What is the last book that you've read?
Pivot to Purpose by Kristen Boss. So it is, I followed Kristen. Actually, she's a huge part of me making the leap that I did. I started listening to her podcast during COVID. I would go on walks and that was one of the big things I listened to is podcasts. And I just fell in love with her podcast. And she's a coach specifically for network marketers, for those that are in like MLMs. Mm-hmm. And personally, that wasn't necessarily the path for me, but her message is so powerful and so amazing and talking about really eliminating the hustle culture. That hustle culture is so just tears us down and it creates this almost impossible, non-sustainable idea. And so she has a book that came out in April and I picked that up and that was the one I just finished reading actually on the beach while I was on vacation. So
it's a perfect combination.
It was perfect.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so relaxing.
It was amazing. Yes.
So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
Oh my goodness. I'm so out of touch with who even are actors anymore. My first thought is Julia Roberts, but I don't even know if she still does any acting. I am really, really bad at the whole TV entertainment industry thing. So Julia Roberts, that's who I would say.
Well, she's a phenomenal actress. So I think
she is. She is.
What is your favorite family recipe, whether it's traditional or you just like making it as a family?
Man, I probably pot, like our, my pot roast, you know, it's a favorite. It's, you know, comfort food at its best for sure. And then of course, you know, I make the mashed potatoes to go along with it and it's glorious. So.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Especially like a cold day. It's perfect.
Yes. Yes. It's not right now. It would be horrible right now, but yes. It's fair enough. Again.
And if you had to describe yourself as an animal, like personality, type, style, what animal would you be?
Mm. Oh my goodness. What animal would I be? What is an animal that's like never still?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say like the first thing that came to my mind was like a kangaroo.
I feel like that's probably one of my biggest, is that even if my body is still, my brain is not still. So I feel like whatever animal would never stops moving, that would probably be me.
That's fair. Another one came, a fish. So it was like,
swimming. Oh yeah. They always just keep swimming. Yeah. That is probably accurate.
So if you were to look at your day off where you're not working, you're not with clients, mm-hmm. what is your favorite way to spend that day off?
That's usually Sundays. Saturdays are often, but there's still some things that have to be managed on Saturdays. But mm-hmm. Sundays, I don't schedule for my clients on Sundays. That is one of my boundaries. And so, we try to keep that as screen free as possible. And mm-hmm. so with my job, I'm on, whether it's computer or phone or whatever, I'm on the screens. And then I also have 3 teenage daughters who also love to be on screens. So we try to keep our Sundays very screen free. And so that is probably one of my favorite things about the day off, is just unplugging and really being, like I said, focused inward on each other instead of on whatever device is in front of our face.
I think that's so important. Just kind of thinking about that, like just being able to, like what you said, and it's been constant throughout, is being present, being in the moment, and really that quality time, especially with one of your daughters going to college soon or like leaving high school, essentially, but being able to have that precious time that we can't get back.
Right. Exactly.
That's amazing. And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
I'm actually not on social media very much at all. So I spend a lot of time in the like back end where I'm scheduling and I'm looking at trends and I'm doing some of those things, but I am not actually scrolling social media very much. And that actually comes up a lot because there will be major things happen in the world and I won't necessarily know it. And my husband will come home and be like, "You didn't see that on Facebook?" And I'm like, I'm actually not on social media as much as you might think, because even though we do so much with our clients for social media marketing and digital marketing. So I think someone would think, "Oh, you're just always on social media." I'm actually really not.
That's a good point, because when you look at it too, you would assume, a lot of people assume that that's what it would be, but I love that you do take that step back and it just goes back to like focusing on what your clients need and growing your business as well versus getting stuck in the scrolling aspect or anything else that can happen on social media. And my final question is, where can people find you, hire you? We'll link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah. So through my website, sociallyinspiredmanagement.com, you can book a discovery call. You can check out my full list of services. You can actually, I believe that I have my team up there. You can take a look at who my team is. I also have my podcast there, so you can take a listen to that, even become a guest on my podcast. The podcast is called The Inspired Biz. So that's probably one of the fastest ways to find me on all the platforms. You of course can connect with me on social media, at Socially Inspired Management on Instagram. But yeah, that's going through my website is probably one of the fastest ways to get me in all the areas.
Perfect. So everybody listening, make sure to check out Amber's website, because that's where you're going to get the most access, but check out the other links as well. But Amber, thank you so much for taking the time today to come on, share your journey, the ups, downs, everything in between, and just how you've been able to manage that and continue to grow. So we really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Amber today? I'm sure she would love to see what you had to say as well. And we'll see everyone on the next video.